today on Real Radio.
If I backed away from the intensity of this message, I'd have to just go hide my head. This is Jesus telling the church, they're not only not saved, they're not even a church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out particular churches in Asia Minor, which is currently known as Turkey. His intention? To deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening in the world today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others simply call it a process of evolution. But one thing is completely clear, and that is that God is speaking to this world, and we really have to listen. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that if Jesus is not the head of our church, then we will suffer eternal consequences. If we're proud of our church and what we've done for it, we're self-absorbed and are only deceiving ourselves. If the Holy Spirit is not alive in our hearts, we have no power and are lost in our sin. And now in his message called, My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You say you're rich, you say that you're wealthy, you say that you have need of nothing. Do you not know? Jesus says, listen to him. This is God speaking to a church. Is God speaking to you right now? Jesus said, you're wretched. You're miserable. You are poor and you are blind and you are naked. If you know of a church that has a building or a sign, and Jesus Christ is not the authority, the head of the church is Christ, but is your church headless? Has your church been beheaded from the authority of Jesus? Is it just a body flopping around and men have gotten to the top and taken the place of the head and they're pulling the strings and blowing the horns and pressing the buttons and it's become a totally self, man-driven church? We will decide this. We will decide the other. I got to tell you personally right now, all of this debate and question about when to open the church and when not to open the church, I got to tell you something right now. I complied with the request of the president. I complied with the request of the governor. And all along the way, I had a check in my gut. I obeyed them. I don't know if it was the right thing. I don't know if this whole thing was some sort of a satanic attack on the world. Isn't it funny now that what's happening, using it as an argument of how much control now the world wants in your life. People are even talking about if you don't have certain documents now or certain things now, you won't be able to get on an airplane. You won't be able to get a passport. You won't be able to go to certain places. Sounds like an end time event to me. I'm sure I'm blowing some of your minds, but you need to go look at the new data now that has come out of great institutions. Since January 1st, do you know what has exceeded the death toll of coronavirus in California? Suicide. Suicide. Up over 300%. Suicide. People calling hotlines. Depression. Suicide. Hotlines. Up 700% in America. I think Satan launched an attack. God's going to use it. God may not have caused it, but God's going to use it. It's time to wake up. The church is transcendent. This stuff about the church being essential or non-essential, that's an embarrassment. The church is not a business. It's not an entity of this world. The church is transcendent. It's the ground and pillar of all truth. The church belongs to Christ. It doesn't belong to America and it doesn't belong to California. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And we, as its managers, being shepherds, being angels to the church at fill in the blank, we had better be careful. What we decide about his church has eternal consequences. We need to recognize him in the midst of the coronavirus and the perverse movement to try to think and hint to the ignorant of this nation. Oh, we have to suspend the First Amendment because of this virus. Do you understand? That is insane. That is the tipping point for lawlessness. The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America was designed for times like this, not to jump away from it or to deny it. How much more the Word of God? Jesus says to this church, can you imagine him? He would never tell a church of his. Can you imagine Jesus saying to his own church, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? He would never. He's speaking to an institutionalized thing that inside of it, we'll see in a moment, there may be a soul or two that can be saved. He's talking to an unconverted church. He's talking to unconverted leadership. He's talking to an unconverted entity. And Jesus says, you're absolutely bankrupt. I want to read something to you. I quote, they had become proud of their own church. They were delighted in their own opinion of themselves. They would be the kind of church that would say, look what we've done. We've achieved this by our superior approach to ministry and by the latest and greatest techniques. Let's remember, everyone, this author wrote, that these cameras that we use in our day, in the 21st century, the computers, the chairs, the screens, they have no anointing. There's no power in social media and its platform or in the color of your church's carpet. There is no special dispensation to some men or women who have a name for themselves in the family of God. That in fact, that is the antithesis to what and who Jesus Christ is all about. Close quote. The church at Laodicea had drifted from their initial calling, and they ceased from being a church. I wonder how many churches in America today have just stopped being a church. They don't even know it, but Jesus isn't there. It's terrifying how prone we are to our own propaganda, isn't it? It's a sad day when we begin to believe our own press release. It's self-deception, it's self-delusion. In Galatians 6, Galatians 6, verse 7, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a truth and a reality. I know this is tough stuff. This has to be. If I backed away from the intensity of this message, I'd have to just go hide my head. This is Jesus telling the church, they're not only not saved, they're not even a church. But see, you know what? You and I, we see the word church and we want to include them in with the rest. And some people have gone to so much length looking at the church at Laodicea and they ask the question, do you think these people are on the brink of losing their salvation or did they lose their salvation? That question doesn't apply to the context. They're not even a saved church. And they have sown. And now Jesus assesses them and they're reaping. James chapter 1, verse 22. I know this is tough. Can you imagine? I'm just a mere bozo mortal. Can you imagine when Jesus assesses us and Jesus looks at this church where I pastor or the church that you go to and he's constantly speaking. And the only way that we can keep our church from going astray is to stay in the Word and to be humble and broken before the Word and let it go up and down us like a laser analyzing us, but God help us on the day that we in our staff meetings and board meetings come to this place that we don't need to seek God anymore. We got enough money to do it all. The old American way. Throw money at it. We'll pull it off. And you know what? God will let you do it. When something gets institutionalized, it's probably be that by that time, it's probably already dead. This message is being preached to me, to you, to this church, and beyond. God help us at this church. This church, I'm happy to tell you right now, to the best of my ability, the assessment is this. The last time I checked with Jesus, which was about an hour and a half ago, but I'm trusting him to be here with me now, is that this church lives from hand to mouth. Did you know that? Well, you have nice chairs. They're not anointed. Oh, the nice screen, not anointed. Nice sound system, not anointed. Are we dependent upon him? James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, I go to church, doesn't matter. What are you doing? He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Oh my goodness. That's so graphic, is it not? Strong words. You do understand, right, that Jesus is not condemning the wealthy. There are those who love God that are rich. This has nothing to do with monetary things. It has to do with where you've placed your trust. If you're wealthy watching this program, don't think that this is to beat you up. No, do you love God with all of your heart? And is God using you like the poor man to channel whatever you have to God's glory? God bless you. But when you step back and say, I don't need to hear this, I'm rich. Hey, honey, turn that off. That really bothers me. I just want to hear only good news. I just want to hear only fun stuff. We've come to a dangerous point. Number four, found in verse 18. Dear Laodicea, I've written you a letter, so why will you not receive from me? Why won't you receive from me? Jesus is saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Listen to this. This is one of the biggest displays of mercy to an unbelieving group of religionists that you'll ever read. And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Notice they're naked. And anoint your eyes. Oh, wow. In Laodicea, medicine, they were world famous for exporting a salve. They actually made tablets. They had little things, the shape of a tablet. They took the soil and they took the chemicals that are in the ground in that part of the world, and they mixed it up into this pill form. They let it dry like a tablet, not a capsule, a tablet, and they would ship it off. And then you would grind the tablet once you got it in your mail, and you would put water on it and you'd put it on your eyes. And it was famously known to help take away infection and increase your ability to heal up in your eyes so that you can see again. Jesus says, notice how relevant he is. You need to get eye ointment from me. Yours doesn't work. Oh, and nakedness, Laodicea was famous for incredibly shiny, looks plastic, by the way, black wool that came from sheep of that region. And when that wool is put together, it's so shiny black, it looks like it's plastic. It's super valuable. Jesus says, you need not just a garment, you need a white garment. Contrast, you need to receive from me, he's saying. In Revelation 22, verse 17, in Revelation 22:17, the Bible says there, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. It means without money. Right here, Jesus said, come to me and buy gold refined in the fire. He's not saying Lear Financial, right? Or call now and get this ounce of gold, blah, blah, blah. Buy gold. Hey, James warns people and says, in the last days, right before Christ returns, people are going to be peddling gold right before the end comes. And the Bible warns that your gold will turn into rot and it will not save you. Why? Because you were rich only in monetary things, not eternal things. Jesus, when he says, buy from me gold that's refined in the fire, he's not talking about metal. He's talking about, listen, buy from me a life that's been refined in the fire. What do you mean buy? Oh, it's free. It's free. Here's what it means. Come and take it with the economy, the transaction. Come with the currency of eternity, not money. You come to me. What buys? Listen, what buys salvation? Faith towards God, repentance of sin. Jesus is Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was, who is to come, the Almighty. That's who he is. That's how you buy gold refined in the fire. Jesus says, come to me. And he says that your shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Remarkable. Five, found in verses 19 to 22. My dear Laodicea, I've written you a letter, so why will you not answer me? Why will you not answer? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Listen, therefore be zealous and repent. Wow, verse 19, listen. If you're right now watching because somebody has made you watch this sermon, this preaching from the Bible, from the Word of God, not from Jack's mouth or from this church or from this website or from this channel. If you're hearing right now, verse 19 from Almighty God, you're going to have one of two responses right now. You are either thinking, shut up and get off this broadcast, or you're saying, what do I do? What in the world am I supposed to do? Put your initials next to verse 19. Listen to this. And I want to show you this picture. It should freak you out. This is an old picture from ancient Greece. But verse 20. We all know this. Behold. Can you imagine? It's a shout. Behold. Behold. I stand at the door and knock, says Jesus. If anyone... I want to go like this. If anyone, right? Echo. Hears my voice and opens the door. He's shouting at a church. Notice he's on the outside shouting at it. If anybody will open the door. The famous painting shows a door with no handle. It shows a door with no knob. The door has to be opened from the inside. This church is so shut up. It's so exclusive. It's so right in its own eyes. It's so the church in their mind. They're so messed up. Have you ever had somebody leave the picture? Have you ever had a ministry or a pastor? Makes me sick. It makes me want to throw up when you hear a pastor say, well, at my church, this is what we, excuse me, whose church? Well, wait, what? You're no longer going to attend my church? What's happened? Oh, my dear friend, you're going to another church? Oh, how could this be? You know what? Come down from your tower. That is so pharisaical and is exactly Laodicean. It's so, your church is so amazing that it's got a doorknob only on the inside, not on the outside. We are a group of super saints. Guess where Jesus is? He's not even in it. Answer, please. Anyone. If you open the door, I will come in and have dinner with you. Dine, sup, food, and he with me, speaking about the word. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my Father's throne. Listen, this is an evangelistic cry. I also have overcome, will sat down on my Father's throne. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I want to ask you this question. Does your church bow to the deity of Jesus Christ? Does the Bible in your church, you do understand when I say church, I'm also talking about your church where you're at and your life that you have. Is this book the absolute dictate of your actions? Is this the answer? This book, the Bible? Is this the sovereign over your life? Is this what you consult before making decisions? Is this what you must read when you wake up? and or before you go to bed, you must eat of this word. Is this it? Or is this a recreational use item? Do you bring this out like you bring out your Sea-Doo? Do you bring this out like you bring out your snow skis or your surfboard? Or is this word eternal, governing over your life, and it has the final say? Our nation is in a great struggle right now. It's completely winnable if our nation as a government goes back to the Constitution that our founders gave us, all will be well. But there's enemies of that Constitution. Many of them are in power. Find it interesting that they constantly seek control of the populace. They won't let go. What about the church? There's the Bible, the Word of God. And in a church that loved Jesus, this word is the absolute final authority. And to the best of their flesh abilities, because we all struggle with our flesh, we do all that we can according to this word, and we're constantly open to our failures. Lord, show me where I've done wrong. Show me where I'm messing up. Show me if any of the theology, if I've got it wrong with my wife, with my kids, with my mom, with my dad. Show me where I've got it wrong. Oh God, teach me, for out of thy word comes forth life. Or there's the church that says in action, well, that's what the Bible says, but that was then. And we have redefined what love means, because we're more refined now. We've even created the definition of those old words. We've renewed the definitions. We have reconstructed them, redefined them, of what marriage is. We have now discovered things like, there's as many genders as you want to have. So we just cut Genesis right out of the Bible and Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. And are you hearing me? See, I don't like what you're saying. It doesn't matter if you like what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is truth. This church was lost. It had a title of a church. Jesus wasn't even in it. Don't be that kind of a church. If you are in that kind of a church, get out now before sundown. Run for your life. Flee that city of destruction. Flee that church of destruction. Say, well, Pastor, my church doesn't believe in the deity of Christ, but I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to hang in there and run. Well, they have a great picnic program. They have a great bingo club. They got a fantastic youth pro. Run! Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening today, and as you can see, our way can get a little slippery, but faith in our Lord Jesus Christ can keep us from falling. My Dear Laodicea, I've Written You a Letter is part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church, a series taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, whenever we do a series here on Real Radio, it really helps to go back and review it, like the seven letters to the seven churches. We really want it to soak into our hearts and minds. It's important that we take the time to listen to what Jesus is saying and maybe make some changes. So just a quick reminder that Pastor Jack will often have the video series you're looking for right there at his YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. There you'll find hundreds of videos to choose from. The content really is amazing. And you can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel from YouTube or from our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.